Let me start with a question. So have you, I think you know my question, Phil. Have you ever forgotten something from your past and then made the same mistake all over again? Right? So Phil, what mistake you repeat?
My biggest mistake was?
Yeah.
I disobeyed God.
All right. So that's repeated?
Yeah, for a long time.
Long time.
I put myself in front of my first and second wife. Mm. I put myself and my sport in front of God.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you for your answer about this. All right. So, Michael.
Yes.
So, what mistake you repeat again and again?
So many.
So many. Jane, please tell us. All right. So what? What mistakes?
Sometimes I forget the birthday.
Yeah, okay. All right, so Edwin, so have you ever mistake in your life?
Well, I have many mistakes. I can relate with sometimes I'm afraid, you know, when you do the same mistake and you just keep repeating it, I think it becomes insanity because you just go along.
Yeah. It's like a circle. Every day we're living in the circle of mistakes. Yes, we all do it. We all do same mistake. People tend to forget the past easily. And because of that, we keep repeating the same mistakes. Some people even say that's why history keeps repeating itself. If you've had a moment like that, you are not alone. We are all do same mistake. And today the scriptures speak right into that very human tendency. So in today's passage from Exodus, the Israelites are in the desert and they are desperate for water. They turn to Moses and complain, "Why did you bring us out here just to die of thirst? If I was God, if I were Moses, I would be very upset. Just 2 months ago, I led you from the Egypt. When you were a slave on Egypt, I saved you. And I saved you from the Red Sea, and I sent quail and manna when you are hungry, but they already forgot it. If I was God, I was really angry. But God, His grace provides water from a rock. But here's what's striking. The author of Exodus says the people were testing God, asking, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Why would they ask that? Because they forgot what God had already done. This wasn't a long time ago. Just look at the chapters right before this. In Exodus 15, God split the Red Sea and saved them from the Egyptian army. When they cried out, "Why, we should have stayed as slaves in Egypt, at least we wouldn't die here." But God opened the sea and led them through on dry ground. Then, in Exodus 16, they were starving and complained. "Back in Egypt, we sat by pots of meat and ate all we wanted." So God sent quail and manna from heaven to feed them. And not just that. Every single day, God guided them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. Now here, we are in Exodus 17, just 1 or 2 months after all of that. They had seen miracle after miracle. And yet, the moment they hit a new problem, they forgot everything. They forgot the God who had been with them every step of the way. They should have trusted that the same God who parted the sea and fed them in the wilderness would also take care of their thirst. But sadly, they couldn't hold on to that faith. Now let's turn to Paul's words in Romans. He says something that might surprise us. We can actually find joy even in the middle of suffering. How? Because suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance builds character, and character gives us hope. That's a beautiful chain, pain leading all the way to hope. And Paul reminds us that while we were still sinners, not after we cleaned ourselves up, not after we got our act together, God sent Jesus Christ to die for us. That is how much God loves us. The Israelites in the desert kept asking, "Is God really with us?" But God's answer, shown most clearly at the cross, is a resounding yes. In John's Gospel, Jesus sits down at a well and starts talking to a Samaritan woman. This woman had a complicated, difficult life. She'd been married 5 times and was living with someone who wasn't her husband. She was an outsider in many ways at the time. A Samaritan, a woman, someone with a messy past. And yet, Jesus sits right next to her and knows everything about her. She was shocked. Then the conversation turned to worship. The Samaritans worshipped on Mount Gerizim. The Jews worshipped in Jerusalem. But Jesus tells her something new and powerful. This time is coming, and it's already here. When true worshipper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Why? Because God is spirit. God isn't tied to a building or a mountain. He is everywhere. He is with everyone who comes to Him honestly, wherever they are. When we put these 3 passages together, one powerful message stands out. God is always with us in our everyday lives and in our deepest pain. He was present in every dusty mile of the Israelites' desert journey. He was present in the broken, lonely life of the Samaritan woman at the well. And He is present in our lives right now. Because God is spirit and He is everywhere. That is the God we worship today, in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Thanks, Phil. I started this sermon by saying, people forget the past and repeat the same mistakes. The Israelites are exactly that story. But honestly, aren't we sometimes that story too? Think about our own life. There have probably been moments of real pain. Times when you didn't know how you were going to make it through. In those moments, maybe you prayed hard. Maybe you cried out to God. And He came through. He helped you. But then, once the hard time passed, how quickly did you go back to living as if God wasn't there? How often does a whole week go by without a single moment where it's clear that you are a child of God? God is always with us. He has not moved. He has not forgotten us. The question is whether we remember Him. My prayer for each of you is this, that your life would look like someone who truly walks with God. Not just on Sunday morning, but on Monday afternoon. In the grocery store, at work, and at home. That when people see you, they would sense something different and think to themselves, there is someone whose life shows that God is with them. And if ever we needed that reminder, it is now. This very week, as we gather in this season of Lent, the world is shaking. Beginning just around a week ago, the United States and Israel launched coordinated military strikes on Iran, a conflict that has already claimed thousands of lives, sent missiles flying across the Middle East, and left entire nations holding their breath. Cities have been struck. Families have been torn apart. Leaders have been killed. More than 100 innocent children have been killed. And across the region, people are asking in fear and desperation, is anyone in control? Is there any hope left? That question echoes what the Israelites cried out in the desert thousands of years ago. The names change, the weapons change, but the fear, the uncertainty, the longing for someone greater to intervene, that has never changed. Paul told us in Romans that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces hope. That is not a promise that the bombs will stop tomorrow. It is something deeper, a promise that even in the worst of human moments, God has not abandoned His creation. He was present in a barren desert with a desperate, frightened people. He is present now in the smoke and chaos of a world at war. Let us pray for peace. Let us pray for the innocent people caught in the crossfire in Iran and Israel across the Middle East. And let us not forget, in the darkest chapters of history, the church has always had a calling. Not to take sides in the calculation of nations, but to be a people of prayer, of compassion, and of unwavering trust in the God who is above every government and every war. So let me ask you again, the same question the Israelites faced in the desert, and the same question we face today. Is the Lord among us or not? The answer is yes. He always has been. May we never forget it. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in a world torn by war and shaken by fear. As missiles fly and nations rage, we confess that we, like the Israelites in the desert, are tempted to forget that you are still here, still sovereign, still near. We lift up every life caught in the conflict between America, Israel, and Iran. The innocent, the grieving, the displaced, and the afraid. Be the water from the rock for those who are desperate. Be the pillar of fire for those lost in darkness. Remind us that suffering is not the end of the story, that you bring perseverance, character, and hope even from the deepest pain. May we not forget you when the storms rage loudest. And may our lives in this anxious and broken world point others to the God who is spirit, who is everywhere, and who has never once abandoned his people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.